give out a little word of encouragement. During the worship time, the Lord was showing me a picture. And if you can think about whenever you've walked outside on a really, really windy day. I mean, it's so windy that, you know, the wind just kind of, it just keeps pushing you. You just kind of can't keep that your normal step, but you just kind of push ahead. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing for each and every one of us today. So just be encouraged. And I'm just thinking that in our own lives, maybe whatever we were wishing or hoping that we could be doing, that maybe instead of just going at our local pace, maybe we should let the Holy Spirit just kind of push us along and maybe take that extra step of faith.
Amen. I don't know what that does for you folks when you hear a word, when a person has an impression or a vision or a revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of a practical thing. And those little things are just wonderful to me. They really bless me. Because if the Holy Spirit isn't practical in our lives, then it's really not relevant. We live all our days out without ever thinking about God. But when we have Holy Spirit, He's there nudging us along, telling us to turn this way or that way, or just to pay attention to what He's doing, pay attention to what He's saying. One of the things that I know that He's doing today, that He's stirring in God's people a desire for a revival. And what do I mean by revival? I mean He's stirring in God's people to pray out His prayer, a longing for more of Him, for His presence, to come and overlay us with a visions of heaven and what it is going to be like in heaven. And how God desires for heaven to come to earth, seeing people come into the kingdom of God. I like to mention this every once in a while because I desire for it to be in the heart of people and so that they have a grid for what we talk about when we talk about revival. To me, I can go back to probably the Hebrides revival or even a revival in Argentina or in other places. There's lots of other places, but those are a couple that we could think about. Where the Hebrides, for instance, when the revival was happening there, there's all kinds of reports about people in bars, in nightclubs, in bars, drinking away and suddenly becoming so convicted that they would leave the bars and go and find a church where people were praying. I mean, that's revival to me. And I've also read documentations where people would be walking along the road, they'd be looking for a light on in the church, and they'd be so overcome with their conviction of sin that they'd end up just going in the ditch and kneeling down and crying out to God. That's revival. I mean, that's really powerful when you think of God moving upon individuals in that way, where whole communities would have a sense of the awesomeness of God. So that's what I mean when I pray, when I talk about revival. I don't mean having a few meetings and having good meetings. I'm talking about transformation take place, and I'm believing God for revival for Prince Edward Island. That this, wouldn't it be something if all of Prince Edward Island came under the convicting power of Holy Spirit? And that suddenly everything that people were doing wrong, that suddenly want to stop that and go the right directions. I'm convinced that family would be healed. Families would be brought back together. And, you know, people would begin to experience the joy of heaven on earth. I remember reading an account on Prince Edward Island in the 1800s where people would, the convicting power of God would come so powerfully upon some people that, and I can think of this one church where, and I've been in it, and it has big pillars that hold up the balcony. And from the stories that I heard, that people would be hanging on to these balconies because they'd have such a vision of hell that they'd be crying out to God to save them, because suddenly the fear of God would come on them in such a way that they would cry out to Him. And remember, Jesus said that if my people would humble themselves, that pray, that turn from their wicked ways, that He would come and heal their land. Well, I don't know about you folks, but when you look at the problems that are in the land, well, the land needs healing. And it needs healing to such a degree that, it needs heaven's healing. Because when heaven's healing comes, it comes from the inside of those who live in the land. And so God wants to bring healing to His people, first and foremost. And I'm thirsty for that revival. I really am. I mean, I was saved back in 1980, but I'm more thirsty today than I ever have been for God. And I'm excited about God. And I believe with all my heart that He wants us to pray out for this kind of revival to come to pass. Corinne is going to come and lead us in prayer. I want us to pray for, just pray for revival to come in whatever way God desires. I've explained or expressed some ideas of what revival would look like, but what I'm saying is, God, whatever your idea of revival is, let it fall on us. Why don't we stand together just as a statement of faith?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as a body of believers, Lord, that we come to the same page in front of you, Father God, and we all come in agreement.
Yes, Jesus.
About revival, not only in this church. Lord, yes. Whenever I think of revival, I think of people in the church dancing and laughing and going on and being so full of your peace and joy and your glory that they're just bubbling over, Lord. But we don't want it to just be in the church. We want it to be in our everyday lives.
Yes,
that we're just,
God.
We can't wait to read the word. We can't wait to bubble over your glory on other people that we see and greet every day, Father God, that we would seek your Holy Spirit every morning and just have such a personal relationship with him that it just spills over. Even as we're driving on our cars, it's spilling onto the highways. Whenever we're in work, it's spilling over the desks and everything, Father God. We want your joy and your peace and your will be done, Father God, in everyone, from the littlest new babies up to the oldest elders in PEI, Father God. And as a person of a younger generation in this church, I say that we are in agreement with those above us and below us, and we come together in unity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, that your glory is like a thick, thick honey that just covers PEI from one end to the other, Father God, and that we see it as Christians, and we just want for it to envelop us in Jesus' name, and other people will see this glory that is on us, and there will be a stirring and a want for everyone, like Bill said, for other people in the world to want to have what we have, Father God, in Jesus' name. I thank you for it now, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Corinne. We believe God for miracles. The miraculous taking place in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to come with me for a moment.
Come with me where?
Yeah. Now, I want you to think about something. You were witnessing a miracle.
Which one?
Which one? Well, that's a good point. Which one? Because there are many miracles that have taken place. I want you to get a comprehension of the work of God in your life. When Debbie and I started following God, we were going different directions in our marriage. And if it wasn't for God to come and perform a miracle in our marriage, I'm convinced we would never be together. Now, 30 plus years. I forget just a minute. So. 78 anyway. And I figured it out. But you're witnessing a miracle, and it's a very real miracle. And you might say, "Well, Pastor Bill, I know lots of people who've been married as long as you were." Yeah, sure, I know. I'm not talking about lots of people. I'm talking about us. I know where we were in our marriage. I know what it was like. And, you know, God does above and beyond what you could ask or think. This is not just a survival marriage. I want you to know that. It's not just a survival marriage. I love this woman more than ever. More than the day I married her, for sure. And that's a miracle. And I'll never forget the day that Debbie and I sat on the kitchen, down at the kitchen table. And we were there was something really bad going on in our marriage. But we decided to follow God. And we made a decision that with God's help, we would never give divorce an option. Amen. And that was a prayer of faith then. It really was. Because we knew, unless God came and stepped in, that there wasn't really much hope. But he did come in, and he came in, and he stepped in, and he caused our marriage to be something that has absolutely wonderfully blessed him. This is my best friend. She's the one that means the most to me. She's the one that I care about. You know, you can think something about me, and it might have something to do with the way I feel, but the way she thinks about me, that matters more than anything else. It doesn't matter a hoot if you guys all think I'm just whatever, long as she thinks I'm important. That's a miracle. It's a real miracle. And God is still doing miracles today. And I want you to say, no matter what's going on in your relationships, if you expect God to do a miracle, awesome things can happen. But you have to step out in faith and begin to believe that little by little, God will shift things around. I wish I could say, in a month, she changed and everything was right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it took her 5 years. Yeah. No, it took me 30 years and still changing and still want to. It's a miracle. Amy and Ian, come on up. We want to pray with you guys. We want to pray blessing upon what you guys are about to do on Saturday, that God's grace and blessing will be upon your lives. Just take your hand, hold hands. I want you guys to stand up again as a statement of faith that would pray bless as we pray blessing upon Amy and Ian as they're about to enter into the covenant of marriage. Now, Father, we thank you for your awesome goodness. We thank you for the love that you poured into Debbie and my life. Lord, I thank you for what you did in our marriage. God, the awesome things that you've done. You've brought us through so many difficult times. But Lord, in the midst of it all, you worked through us. And you helped us be an encouragement to one another. And I pray, God, the same power that worked through us might be upon Amy and Ian's life, God, as they go through a covenant of marriage and start out their life together. I pray for power of Holy Spirit to be evident in their lives, dear God, that the wisdom from heaven concerning marriage would flow into their lives, God. And Father, every day that they would think about the third person in their marriage, God, giving guidance and being the glue holding their marriage together. And Father, that they would honor one another, show love to one another, live out their lives in selflessness, Lord, that they might serve one another under Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit directing them. We speak blessing upon them as they go into this marriage, Lord. We speak blessing, blessing, blessing. And as a church, God, we declare that we, as a people, will do everything we can to see that they have a happy, prosperous marriage. And we thank you for it now, and we bless them. And everybody said, amen. 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 Bless you guys. Praise God. He is so good. Amen. Well, let's prepare to receive our morning offering this morning. And we just want to continue our worship time with our giving. Because this is a real worship time. Make a choice to be joyful about our giving. Make a choice to make this such a time of adoration to our great God for what he's done for us. God so loved us. Say this with me. God so loved me that he gave his very best. Wow. He gave his very best, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we give back to you today, we thank you for the privilege of being able to give. Thank you that you put that in us to be able to give. We praise you for your ability in us. And I thank you, Lord, that as we sow seed into the kingdom of God this morning, that the seed goes into good soil, it produces abundant fruit, and a harvest comes back to the sower. And we praise you for it now. We thank you, Lord. You said that you give seed to the sower and bread to eat. And we thank you for that now. And we rejoice as we give this morning in Jesus' name. Let's worship him with our giving this morning. Say this with me, Heavenly Father. I yield myself to your word, to the Holy Spirit. I desire to hear what Holy Spirit is saying to me this morning. In Jesus' name. I'm a believer. Therefore, I hear what the Spirit is saying in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we have lots of things happening in the world around us. But one of the things, I'm going to mention a couple of those things, but one of the things that I want you to always remember, no matter what we're talking about, no matter whether we're talking about revival, no matter whether we're talking about something happening in another nation, no matter we're talking about the church, no matter whether we're talking about something huge and big, God is still interested in your own personal need. God is still interested where you're at. God is still interested in your life. God still knows exactly what you need, and God still cares about exactly what you need. And so I want you to realize that no matter how big God is and no matter what he's doing, he still has time for you. He still knows exactly what's going on in your life. And I know that he's using whatever situation you're in life for your betterment. He's using it for your good. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, we make a choice whether we're going to yield to that or not. But I want you to realize that if it's healing in your body, you can receive healing for in your body, even as the word is spoken this morning, even as we're talking about the word, talking about the things of the world. If you need a healing in relationship, I want you to know that God can do some things in your life that will enhance that relationship, even if we're talking about the things of God. Don't underestimate the power of talking about the things of God, talking about the testimony of God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when we talk about the things of God, about the testimony of Jesus, about the things what he is doing, he's actually releasing. Impartation is coming because of the prophetic anointing that goes on prophetic words or words or testimonies about Jesus. Because testimonies of Jesus are always prophetic. In other words, they carry something of God into your life. Now, if we were to look around the world this morning, we'd see some pretty significant things taking place. One, especially in the Ukraine. I'm sure some of you at least are noticing what's happening in Ukraine. Russia has actually invaded the country right now. They're trying to play it low-key as they possibly can, but in actual fact, that's what's going on. The Russian troops are on the Ukraine soil right now, and the rest of the world is looking around and saying, what should we do? What should we do? What should we do? Because they're having a difficult time in looking back at the past and seeing when Germany went into other countries and the rest of the world sat back until it was far too late. And so now some of the superpowers in the world are looking, what should we do? Should we just wring our hands and hope for the best, or should we retaliate? Should we do things? There's a real dangerous situation coming now where two kingdoms, if you will, are clashing. And Russia does not want to give up Ukraine. They want to have influence there, and the rest of the world is saying, you're invading another country. You have no business there. So what's going to happen? I'll tell you one thing. If the United States, the United Nations, or any other country happens to go in there and do some things, you're going to see a pretty devastating picture evolve over the next period of time. Is this end time stuff? I don't know. But I know one thing. It's a time that we need to pay attention to what God is saying. And it is also a time where we want to make significant, probably, changes in our own lives in getting our priorities right, so that we don't end up making minor things priorities. So when something devastating happens, we've been wasting our time on something that doesn't really matter. I like what somebody said about after 9/11, when the Twin Towers were taken down, a lot of counselors actually in New York actually said, you know, their business actually went down. Because a lot of things that the people are going in to get counseling for, suddenly they realize they ain't that important. We just had 3,000 people killed. My little problem suddenly isn't that important anymore. I can deal with it and just move on. Well, you know, when you have your priorities right, you can do that. A lot of the things that happen to us day in and day out, we don't have to make a big deal of them. We don't have to make them consume a lot of our time. We just continue on. Keep the main priority. And Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I know that one thing God wants to do is bring us into a place of unity, the body of Christ in a place of unity. Jesus prayed in John 17 that there would be a great unity take place and that we would be in Jesus the way Jesus is with the Father, a close unity. And he was praying about the church when he was praying those words. He was saying, I pray that they might be one. I pray that the church might be one. And I'm convinced as the church becomes one in an increasing way, we will see authority released from heaven that will catapult us into great victories when it comes into taking the kingdom of darkness. And we'll share a little bit about that in a few minutes. But I want to mention something that happened real well within the last few months that is very, very significant. Actually, it probably happened in January, I guess. That is very, very significant. And that is a message that the Pope released by video in a Kenneth Copeland ministers' conference back in January. I just want to set the stage a little bit for it. I'm going to actually show you the clip. But I want to set the stage a little bit. A guy by the name of Tony Palmer was a friend of Pope Francis before he became Pope. And he was visiting, or he was in another country. And he said, when he became Pope, he said, I knew we were good friends before that. The Pope was actually his mentor. But actually, he said, you know, I knew after that, then our relationship would change. I mean, how good a friend can you be to the Pope? And anyway, he said, one day he got a phone call, and he said, this was Pope Francis. And Tony Palmer said, oh, and he said he called him by his name. And he said, yes. And he was quite astounded to get a call from the Pope. And he said, are you coming to Rome in the near future? And he said, well, actually, he said, I'm going to be coming in the next couple of weeks. And so he said, well, why don't you come and see me? And he said, wow. And so he figured, okay, here's the Pope. So he's obviously, there's a reason. He's other than agenda. And he said, well, what's the reason? He said, no agenda. He said, we're friends. And he said, well, I realize that, but you're the Pope now. And he said, look, we have been friends. We are in covenant relationship together. I'm still your friend. I want you to come and see me. And so anyway, long story short, he came to see him. And this Tony Palmer told the Pope, he said, I'm going to a minister's conference in the United States in 2 weeks' time. Would you have a word for them? And the Pope said, well, actually, he said, why don't we do a video? You could take it to the conference. Tony Palmer was just amazed that he would do this. So they made a video. Tony Palmer was in Kenneth Copeland meetings. He told Brother Copeland about it, and Brother Copeland showed the video. And I thought, it is historic. It really is. It's historic. When it comes to the church and unity in the church, it is historic. And I want us to listen to it. It's about 7 minutes long. I wanted you to listen to this part because I want us to get a sense of the unity of the body of Christ, about what it really means to be a believer who will receive and accept other people who might have different traditions or a different concept of what it means to be a Christian. But I want you to listen to his heart. And by the way, one of the main things that Protestants would use to distinguish themselves from Roman Catholic or from really associating with them is that for years, Catholicism had a view of salvation had much to do with works. But back around the year 2000, I believe it was, that they actually made a statement that salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith and faith alone. That's a pretty amazing thing. That sounds familiar to what we believe, isn't it? Amen. Sounds pretty close to what I believe anyway. And so when it comes to salvation, it is the blood of Jesus that provides the way. Let's just listen to this for a few minutes.